Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Last week I started a series that's going to be a five-part series called The High Fives of God. These are the five incredibly important things that God wants for His people to consider. The High Fives of God. These five elements are important for us to maintain on our end because of all the things that God has done and continues to do for us. Think of these five things as God's honey-do list, okay? If you're like me, your spouse has a honey-do list of, hey, honey, can you do these things for me? My list just seems to keep getting bigger and bigger because there's more stuff that needs to be done. But think of this as God's honey-do list. God loves us, and He does so much for us, and He cares for us, and He wants the best for us. But in return, He needs some things from us as well. So last week we talked about how the first of these things is to fear the Lord. We need a healthy fear and respect and awe for God. Now, last week Micah was not with us. He was at football camp. But I told you how if he was here with us, I was going to have him get in his football stance, you know, and I was going to have him growl, you know, like he does on the football field, you know, when they line up. And I was going to have him put the fear of God in you. Because that's what these linemen do, you know. These linemen, they don't mess around. They get in their stance, and they are intent on stopping the run or sacking the quarterback or whatever they do. There's a healthy fear there if you're lined up against Micah, right? But as I mentioned last week, if you know Micah's heart, you know his character, you know he's a great kid. He doesn't want to hurt you if you're on the other side of the line playing football. But you might get hurt if you try to thwart his purposes. And the point I tried to make last week was, God is going to do what God is going to do, and nobody can thwart his purposes. He's going to run through you if he needs to. But if you know God's heart, and if you know God's character, you know that everything God does is out of love. So we need to have a healthy fear for God. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 and read through this list again. And my prayer is that God will help us be attentive to what it is that we need to do on our end, because God, out of His love and His grace and His mercy, continues to do so much for His people. Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? Fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commandments and decrees. That's number five. These are the high fives of God that I am giving you today for your own good. Verse 14, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Now, turn with me to Micah chapter 6 verse 8. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. Now I'm going to read Micah 6 verse 8. This is probably the most well-known verse of this particular prophet. But then I'm going to talk a little bit about the stuff that precedes that verse, because sometimes we forget about all these things that precede Micah 6 8. But in Micah 6 8 we read this. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Great verse. Reminds us again that God asks us to walk in humility with Him. But there are several verses preceding this that give us the rationale for why God expects us to live and act and walk in this way. In Micah 6:1, we read this. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. Verse 3, my people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. Verse 4, I brought you up out of Egypt. There was no other God that redeemed his people out of Egypt. It was Yahweh God. He's making his case. I did this for you. And I redeemed you from the land of slavery. I'm the one who sent Moses to lead you, and also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered? You guys remember that story? Numbers chapter 22, where Balak and the elders of Moab decided to collude with the Midianites and summon a prophet named Baal to put a curse on God's people. That's a cool story in Numbers chapter 22. Go home and read it this afternoon. But God saved them from that. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord? If you don't remember that story, go back and read Joshua chapters 4 and 5, where Shittim was the last stop on the journey of the people of God through the wilderness, and Gilgal was the final stop before their first step into the promised land. But there was a problem, and the problem was the Jordan River. And how were they going to cross the Jordan River? And if you read that story in Joshua chapters 4 and 5, you know that God worked a miraculous miracle and his people crossed the Jordan River on dry land. God is reminding his people, I've done all these things for you. No one else redeemed you. No one else saved you. No one else delivered you. I did all these things for you. Verse 6 of Micah chapter 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? In other words, can I purchase God's mercy? Can I just throw more sacrifices at God? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? All that, then we get to Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you because of all these things he has done? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let us pray. Dear God, these Old Testament stories are very important, because they remind us, they teach us of how you brought us to this point. We didn't just appear here in Springfield, Oregon out of a vacuum. We are your people here today because of what you have done long ago in a land far away, and how you worked miraculous, mighty deeds to redeem and rescue your people. And then, in your ultimate act of grace, you raised up a Messiah named Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world and brought redemption to the world, and that's how we ended up here. And so all these stories in the Old Testament remind us that we are here for a reason, for a purpose, and our response now is to walk humbly with you. And so, God, maybe today on this first Sunday of July, there are those of us who will today renew our walk with you, or start a walk with you, as a way of our response, our being a living sacrifice to say thank you, God, for what you've done for me, for us, and for your people. And so help us, Lord, as we seek to be attentive to your word. And all God's people said, amen, amen. We are to walk in obedience with our God. As I read to the kids this morning, before the fall, before Adam and Eve sinned, before Adam and Eve did their rebellion against God, it was God's desire to be in close proximity, relationship with God. As a matter of fact, it says in Genesis 3:8 that God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. I love that verse, especially as the temperatures are going to start to rise here in the next couple of days. The cool of the day. Bring on that cool, because it's going to get really scorching hot. But as Adam and Eve rebelled, their walk with God was broken. And so instead of walking with God, they ran. Because they were ashamed. They were naked. They were fearful. They disobeyed God. And that relationship with God was broken, and that relationship has been broken ever since. We live in a broken, fallen world where people live far from God and are not walking with God. But it's God's will that He walk with us. And He's doing everything He can to restore that relationship so that we can indeed walk with God again. And so however ugly things get in Genesis, and things got really, really ugly. I mean, not only here in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell, but things got so bad in the days of Noah. People were violent. People were wicked. It was very, very bad. And the Bible actually says God's heart was grieved that He had made creation, because they had become so rebellious, so evil, so wicked, that God said, I'm just going to start over. So however bad things got in Genesis, and they did get bad, there's still glimpses of hope, of people who did not give up on God. And the Bible actually says of them that they walked with God. So if you look at Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, for example, we read of this man named Enoch. Now, Enoch is an interesting man. We don't know very much about him, but of the description that we have of him, listen to this. Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. Of all the things that could have been said about Enoch, the writer here says that the thing that we need to take most note of is that he walked with God. And so we have an example of someone who did not give in to the depravity and the evil of his day, but he actually walked with God. Then in one chapter over, Genesis chapter 6, we read of another man. This is the account of Noah. Genesis 6, beginning at verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and get this, and he walked with God. How cool is that? In the midst of rebellion, in the midst of disobedience, in the midst of all this evil, we have here just two chapters. Enoch and Noah. And the Bible says of them, these are men to be upheld because they walked with God. Then you go over to Genesis chapter 17. We have another descriptor of another man who walked with God. Genesis chapter 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And all accounts is that Abram indeed was obedient to God, walked with him, and we know the rest of the story, that God changed his name to Abraham. He became the father of many nations, and God blessed him. We are the descendants of Abraham, all because Abram walked with God. There's a New Testament couple that I want to bring to your attention. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, because this is a cool descriptor of a neat couple. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Other translations have, they walked with God. So here we have another couple who the Bible says one of the greatest descriptors of anybody that the Bible can make, they walked with God. And so one of God's high five requests is that we walk in obedience with Him. What does that mean? I just want to give you some thoughts this morning as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion, as we think about God's request for us and what it is He desires for us. So I just want to share some thoughts about what it means to walk with God. To walk with God is to live with a constant awareness of His daily presence with us. It's to think of God first thing in the morning. It's to meditate on Him and think about Him all day long. He's the last person you think about and pray to and talk to when you go to bed at night. To walk with God is to have this constant daily awareness of His presence. I love how the psalmist puts it in Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. He lived with this constant awareness of God's presence. There was nowhere he could go that God wasn't. It's learning to see God in the everyday. A sunrise, a beautiful sunset, to see God in the faces of these innocent kids in church or anywhere out in the community. It's to see the presence of God in the eyes and in the faces of people we meet every day. It's to see God working in all the details in our lives. To walk with God is to see Him at work every day, to give Him praise for what He's doing, to thank Him not only for the big things that He does in our lives, and He does do pretty big things, but it's also the little daily things that He does that add up. To walk with God is to be constantly aware of His loving presence with us. And even in those times when we don't feel God with us, guess what? He's still with us. And so as we strive to live as God's people, may we just always, every day, live with this awareness of God's presence in our life. I think the other thing to walk with God means that we actually have to be aware of the fact that when God says that we are to walk with Him, it also means He has this desire to walk with us. You know, there are people that I'd love to hang out with, you know, and there are people that I think are cool and maybe I'd like to get to know, but they could care less about me, right? They don't want to hang out with me. They don't want to spend time with me. But when God says to us, walk with me, it's a reminder to us that God has this desire to actually want to be with us and to walk with us. It's an invitation to walk with Him. I like how Proverbs 18:24 says it. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. God's invitation for us to walk with Him is a reminder that He wants to have this daily walk with us. So close that it's even tighter than a relationship than a brother. This last Wednesday night, God kind of messed up what we had wanted to do, and Kaylee invited a friend of hers who's a missionary, and so rather than the adults do their thing, we came down here and we listened to Kaylee's friend who has this incredible heart for God and this desire to serve Him, and she was talking to us about, and she's young, she's only, 22, 23 years old, but she's already been in many countries in the Middle East, and she told us many, many really cool stories. But one of the stories she was telling us was she was there in this foreign country. I think it was her first time there. And she was all alone. Just all alone. And really starting to feel homesick. Starting to feel down. And she looked and like across the street there was a family having a party. And she just felt alone. She didn't really know anybody. She just felt out of place. And it was in that moment that God's Spirit gently spoke to her and said, I'm here. You can rely on me. And she said, in that moment, I felt God's presence so close. And she used the word friend. She said, I actually felt like he was my friend. And when she said that, I wanted to start singing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You know, we sing that sometimes in church. And in that moment, as she shared with us, she had this divine encounter with God that he was there. Even in a foreign country, not knowing anyone, all alone, feeling down, God's Spirit spoke to her, and he became so close to her as if he was her best friend. To add to the cool part of the story, some people from that party came over and invited her, and she went to the party, and everything worked out well. But as I listened to this young lady speak, it just reminded me again that when God asks us to walk with him, he's already making the first step to walk with us. I'm reminded of that other song that sometimes we like to sing in church, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Lord, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. And so when God asks us to walk with him, we need to be reminded that it is his deepest desire to want to walk with us. The other thought I had about walking with Jesus is that to walk with God means we are not to run. Now, don't get me wrong. There are several places in the Bible where it says we are to run. You know, let us run with perseverance. I have finished the race. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get a prize. I'm aware of those verses. And yes, there is a time for us to run. But running in the long term is not sustainable. But this daily, methodical walk with God is. Yes, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. And yes, there's a finish line. And yes, there are times that we need to sprint. I get that. But more often than not, the Bible talks about us walking with God. Because when you're running, you miss out on a lot of things. But when you're walking on this pace with God, you begin to see things that maybe you've never seen before. And you begin to appreciate things that God wants to point out to you. And there's just a beauty in walking with a friend. If some of you are married, maybe you go on walks with your spouse. And you know that those times can be a very meaningful time as you just walk and you talk and you share. And maybe you stop and smell the roses. Those are special times. And in our walk with God, he wants to reveal more and more of himself to you. You remember after the resurrection, those two men walking the road to Emmaus, who came alongside with them and started walking with them? It was Jesus. And in the course of their walk, Jesus revealed himself to them. And their eyes were opened and they began to see. Have you ever thought about walking with God? Is that to walk with God is to walk in conjunction with him. Certainly it's not to walk in the opposite direction from him, and it certainly doesn't mean to run from him, but when God asks us to walk with him, he wants us to walk the path that he has for us. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God wants us to walk in conjunction, parallel with him, according to his purposes and his ways. You know, sometimes maybe we want to take Jesus' hand and say, God, let's go this direction. No, he knows the path to take, and we need to walk with him. If you turn to 1 John 1:7, I'm reminded of these incredible verses here that I think are good for all of us to hear. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. In other words, in conjunction with God. Not fighting him. Not walking our path, but in conjunction with him. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So to walk with God is to walk according to his path, his way, and his purposes. And finally, to walk with God, I think very simply means to enjoy the journey with him. Just to enjoy the time with him. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. I think someone needs to hear this word today. As God is asking you to walk with Him, we read these verses. Delight yourself in the Lord. Enjoy the walk with Him. Enjoy the journey with Him. God's not going to lead you astray. But delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Enjoy the journey with Jesus. It's an adventure. Living by faith is an adventure. So enjoy. Enjoy the walk with our Lord. I get gifts from time to time as a pastor. I don't know, people seem to think, oh, he's a pastor, give him a Bible. So I've got a ton of Bibles. I don't need any more Bibles, okay? But one of the coolest gifts I've ever gotten is this. This is a walking stick. It is a nice one. It's actually, I think, the perfect walking stick. But my dear friend got this for me and actually made it for me and carved some Greek words in there for me. Tim, you gave this to me. I told Tim I still have this, and it's been a while since you've given this to me. He was surprised I still had this. You were like, you still have that? Of course I still have. This is one of my most cherished gifts I've ever gotten as a pastor. I love this, and this is in my office. And I see it every time I go in there. Because it reminds me that my calling is to walk with Jesus. And what greater reminder is there than this walking stick? This stick represents God's presence with me. I can lean on Him. And He will guide me. And if I start to get tired and I start to get weak, as we all do, I just lean a little bit more on my walking stick. And I trust God's provision and I trust His plan. What is it that God requires of us? To fear and reverence the Lord our God and to walk humbly and in obedience with our Lord.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.